I'd like to call to order the Architecture Committee meeting of the Vera Cray Commission for May 28th. The director, call the roll to establish a quorum, please.
Yes, Rick Byfield.
I'm present.
Cynthia Stewart.
Present.
Stephen Bergeron is absent, but the two members constituting the quorum.
Thank you. Well, we'll start out with old business and ask if there's an applicant present for 317 through 19 Charter Street. We have the staff report?
Yes, and I will be reading reports for Aaron Wood, who is out today. This is a proposal to revise construction documents to add roof access and review of mechanical equipment for application materials received August 25th, 2021 and May 1st, 2024, respectively. Work has continued to renovate this property following permit issuance in 2022. The applicant has submitted a revised roof plan for the mechanical area with new equipment for the walk-in cooler added to the equipment farm and a new permanent access door added to the second floor exchange play as well. Since the area being altered is brown rated, infill, and should not be visible from any surrounding properties, staff does not object to the proposed work and recommends conceptual approval. Staff notes that two different new plans have been provided, one of which may not be approvable with the mechanical division due to the placement of the hood vent. Staff requests clarification regarding which plan is being proposed before drawings are stamped. Cut sheets have been provided for the 8/8 HVAC condensers, two walk-in cooler freezer condensers, and the hood vent. Staff finds them to be typical in size and noise output and recommends conceptual approval. Staff notes that millwork drawings were also provided for review at staff level. Revisions will be needed and red lines will be provided to the applicant. Additionally, photos showing mid-demolition conditions have been included in the submittal showing unusual wall conditions at the adjacent property line. It is unclear from plans where these conditions are located. It appears to be the contact side, but it is unclear which neighboring property this condition belongs to, as there are separate properties that front on Exchange and Charters. But the applicant has provided a proposed flashing detail where the mechanical well wall abuts the neighbor's masonry wall. Staff finds the submittal confusing and seeks clarification from the applicant regarding the existing conditions, what will remain versus what will be demolished and what is being proposed.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Steve Finnegan, I'm the architect, 123 South Pier Street.
Jay Costa, general contractor, JJ Costa Company.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
Well, there's four issues. Take one at a time. The AC units. We're just adding two refrigeration units for the walk-in coolers. We all along showed an original permit to do the eight AC units, and we're just adding two more little ones for the walk-in coolers. So they just put two more units. That's they're on the right there next to the courtyard. They were saying that there was confusion as to where the hood's going to be. The hood has to be 10 feet from the property line. So you see it located sort of in the center there. That's where it needs to be. We originally, Fire Marshal made us move it. We originally had it close to the property line. So I hope that, just to get rid of that confusion. So that's the deal with the roof.
I think the question.
And the other one is the door. You see the door? You see the three condensing units on the top, the door to the left? We added that just so that if down the road, 10, 15 years from now, if they ever have to replace a condensing unit, they have access through that door. It's a 3'6" door. If there's a problem with it, we just had it flush, a flush hollow metal door, painted the same as the stucco wall that it's in, maybe to try to make it go away. If that was an addition that they wanted you all to review.
Right.
So that's it for that roof.
I think the fourth issue was the orientation and condition of the adjacent property line walls. And we can look at this maybe slide number 32.
This is on the contact
32.
Side.
Yeah, that's 32.
And one of the things we're doing is we removed the second floor roof. The center part that used to be, originally was a courtyard, was two stories. And we removed that roof and making it one story with the, with that AC deck on the roof now, and a little courtyard for the apartment unit. That's the second floor apartment unit. And it went, and one of the things we're doing is we're rebuilding the, well, kind of just cutting down the walls on both sides to be about 5 or 6 feet high. And you see that wall, that, that brick wall that's part of the neighbors, that's right where we're doing that work. And it's really dilapidated, and you know, if you touch it, it's going to fall down. So we're trying to just get it to where we want to lower it just a, like a few feet below our wall, you know, our 6 foot tall wall, just lower it and cap it off, you know, with a, you know, with some waterproofing, you know, a little mortar, and just to slope it away from it. That's what we do. But it's in really bad shape, and you know, we talked to the neighbor about it, and they're okay with this. Yeah, there's the detail, just a foot or two below the our cap, and that cap is around the AC units that you just saw in plan, and around that courtyard, and that's cutting down their brick wall to be just a foot or two underneath ours.
Can we go back to that slide 32? So the metal that you're cutting down is that wall that extends above the masonry?
Yes.
And how tall is that going to be?
It's going to be like 6 feet above the second floor, so it's going to be much lower than it is there.
Because, got it. Okay.
Because this, that's the second floor roof that we're removing.
Probably somewhere around the joint between the two, the upper metal panel and the lower metal panel.
Okay.
That's about where it's coming down to. Yes.
Okay. And so what's about that? So this over here.
That's a neighbor's masonry.
That's not.
So you're removing the wood, the superficial wood on your side of that wall. That masonry.
Pretty
wall?
Much superficial wood above that line that you pointed to, and the neighbor's brick above that line. So it's not up there in the wind.
And what's the finish on the your side of that metal
stucco.
Panel?
Stucco. As per plan.
You know, within the new courtyard that we're creating on the roof, an AC platform. Yes.
So this is the property line here?
Yes,
correct. Wall. Correct.
So Renee just had that point. That might be interesting about permitting. If you're, part of this is going to be on the neighbor's property.
No, it's not on the neighbor's property.
Well, you're
so when you're talking about lowering the neighbor's wall, that's
I'm
the
sorry.
Neighbor's wall?
We talked about, you know, we discussed.
I know, but we've got to have all of that in writing. And if it's happening on the neighboring property, you're going to have a permit for the neighboring property. It can't be covered under this permit.
All right, well, it started off, Aaron told me, hey, let's get our guy out there to cite them because, you know, their wall's falling down.
But then she also told me, verify with the neighbor that they're okay. You know, instead of getting them to go through the rigmarole of doing it themselves, I didn't mind doing it myself.
No, that's fine. We just need to make sure that it's all, you know, and I would, and this is probably not an issue with you, but I do think this is concerning. And so you might, you know, if you're going to be doing work on that wall, you might try to work that into the project, just because that looks like it's been held in place by some 2x4s for a while.
With the brick that you see behind there that doesn't seem to be pointed is one particular course that's closer to us. They have about two additional courses in front of that's on their side. So the wall is pretty much stable. It's just we didn't want to have his portion flowing in the wind up there. So where we brought our wall down to, 6 foot above the second floor, we brought his wall down.
We just don't want, if his wall was sitting above our new wall that's being lowered, it would fall down.
No, I understand.
And so your frame wall is coming all the way down?
Just like we saw that detail, just a little bit below the top
of
our
cap. How far down is it going to go? I mean, I know
6 foot above the second floor.
But does it come down to grade? Or it's not sitting on top of masonry, it's coming in front of the masonry wall. Is it drawn here in the detail?
Okay, the mason.
Let's look at the detail. So we see 38.
So this is the other side?
This is from the neighbors looking at our property, at his wall with our property beyond. And the second picture is the opposite way completely, looking at his property beyond
from our side.
So your frame wall, the one that we're seeing in slide number 32, so that frame detail comes all the way down to grade?
It's 6 foot above the second floor.
And then it rests on masonry?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
That masonry is just all, yeah, that was the first, the masonry is only on the first floor. I think that masonry was that masonry on the first floor. I think it was originally the fence wall of the courtyard.
Right. Okay.
The masonry you saw in that drawing is all on top of masonry, all the way down on their wall. The wood you saw in the drawing is sitting on our second floor deck, which is sitting on our framing.
That's just not clear. Not clear from.
And it's, you said about this point.
It's about right there. Yeah, that's about where the top of that wall, wood wall in the drawing is. And then the masonry is just on the other side of that.
And what's the address of that adjacent property?
I forgot. I didn't retain it down.
It's not Charter's facing?
No, it's Exchange Alley, and it belongs to the Lafitte Pirate Shop or Coffee House, as well as...
They're the tenant.
Yeah, they're the tenant downstairs.
They don't own that.
They don't own the whole property. There's like four owners.
Okay. So, is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Do you have any questions or concerns?
No.
So, can we make a motion that doesn't force them to come back when this wall is viewed from the Exchange Alley side?
Oh, you mean to permit the... other address?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But we don't have an actual address, so can we just say
Exchange Alley? Okay. Shared wall.
Okay. Yeah. Is there any, would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
Do we want to go over the millwork shop drawings?
That's all staff.
Oh, that's all staff?
Yeah, that's staff.
Okay, good. No, I think that's all we have.
Are you going to make a motion?
I think I am not prepared to do a motion.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion, and Cynthia's going to second it.
Great.
Maybe. Okay.
I am going to second it. I'm sorry, and I apologize. I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around this.
It's been going on for a while, yes.
Okay, in the matter of 317 through 19 Charter Street, I move to grant conceptual approval for the placement of the additional AC unit, the relocation of the vent hood, the addition of the doorway in the new courtyard wall, and to the treatment of the exposed courtyard wall on both the Charter Streets and the Exchange Alley side, so that this matter will not have to come back to the committee for approval when the Exchange Alley property makes their application. Is there a second for that motion?
I second that motion.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. So next door needs to file for a permit.
We're going to move on, Steve. Okay. I'm sorry. Next item is 740 Royal Street. We have an applicant present.
Thank you.
Do a staff report.
Sure. 738 through 42 Royal Street in the Blue Ridge Building. Does they propose correct violations and renovate the building, including modifications to the courtyard facing the balcony? The application materials received March 11th and May 23rd. The majority of the proposed work for this project was conceptually approved at the April 9th, 2024 Architecture Committee meeting, with one exception being proposed modifications to the courtyard facing balconies, where the applicant had previously proposed installing approximately 30 new angled supports. The applicant has revised the proposal regarding these balconies. One new steel bracket is shown added to the second floor framing plan, but the many others previously proposed have been eliminated per staff's recommendation. There are several existing angled supports that will be retained. New columns are now shown at the second and third floor levels. The applicant had some questions regarding the connection details of the columns to the balconies above and below. The drawings note the use of concealed clips and base plates at the top and bottom of each column, respectively. Provided these connectors are in fact concealed, staff does not find their use to be problematic. Additional detailing of the columns, such as chamfered corners, are recommended, and the applicant can refer to BCC standard detail sheets for these. Staff finds the proposal more consistent with what is typically seen on similar courtyard-facing balconies and recommends conceptual approval of this aspect of the proposal with any final details be worked out with the staff plan.
Thank you. Would you like to state, there's a lot of people here, would you like to state your names and addresses in relationship to the property?
Patrick Brown, Tuna Construction General Contractor, 464 Latigue Road in Wagon.
Carter Brown, Tuna Construction.
Miles Martin, 1000 Norman C. Francis, Architect of Record.
Eric Gates,
preservation consultant, 1026 North Carroll Chapman.
Okay, so don't all speak at once, but does anybody want to make a presentation or response to the staff report?
No, short and quick here. I think the staff summary kind of recapped where we were in this project. We are revisiting this project, this aspect at request of the VCC as those prior old photos turn into discovery photos, noting existing columns that were on the second and third floor of this interior courtyard. The information provided in response is in a letter from the engineer, the structural engineer's design and an architectural floor plan and elevation showing the locations of those columns. Those columns are simple and detailed. Staff report noted a chamfering detail to be applied, which we will happily accept and look for the comment.
Okay, great. Any questions for the applicant? And for the staff, did we review guardrail details before? Did we?
I don't recall. I believe it was part of the initial.
And so now with these columns, we won't have that, the newel post sticking up above the run of the handrail. They'll run, they're going to run.
Correct, span columns.
They're going to column to column. Yeah.
Okay. So that was.
Connection point at the column.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
Is there any public comment on this matter? I see no public comment. Staff, anything you'd like to add? Would you like to add anything before we go to a motion? Is there a motion in the matter of 740 Royal?
Thank you. Your notes, I appreciate it.
Addition of brackets.
Yes, okay. I move that we accept the addition of brackets and columns per the submittal before us today. With a final approval by at staff level.
Okay, and just as a matter of clarification, this is in the matter of 740 Royal Street. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, the motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I need a clean training class.
Do you have a copy of the paper,
John?
Okay, we'll move to new business.
I'm unprepared for homework today.
And ask me if anybody's present for 924 Bienville Street. I see no one present. So we'll skip over that one. And, no?
No.
He is present. Okay, 924 Bienville.
All right, 924 Bienville is a green-rated building. Proposed chertain 4x4 posts installed as extra supports under balcony until such time as pending litigation with the neighboring property is resolved. Publication materials received May 9, 2024. Staff cited this property for some demolition by neglect and working without permit violations back in 2022. Working without permits violation included the installation of 4x4 posts under the wraparound balcony of the building. The applicant noticed that the balcony has been damaged by rainwater coming from scuppers on the neighboring building at 918 Bienville / 939 Iberville. Staff notes that 939 Iberville has been cited and previously fined for the installation of the scuppers, which did not appear on the approved plans for that building. Staff agrees with the applicant that the draining of water from the roof of 918 Bienville, 939 Iberville, directly onto 924 Bienville is problematic and damaging. The owners of 924 Bienville are now in litigation with 939 Iberville to attempt to resolve this issue. In the meantime, the applicant proposed to wait or make some repairs to the balcony until the scuppers are removed to avoid similar damage to new materials. 4x4 posts have been installed under the balcony in the side alley to help support the balcony until such time as it is properly repaired. The applicant has provided letters from a contractor and architect who are essentially on standby to make the repairs once the scupper issue is resolved. Staff knows that legal proceedings can often be very time-consuming, but staff appreciates the circumstances presented here and the intention to properly repair the balcony when the draining issue is hopefully resolved. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposal.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Alan Kelly, 337 Carondelet, property manager for MJ Valley.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
We are aware of the problem. It is ongoing. We have finally gotten some traction with the 939 Iberville ownership group. They have temporarily closed one scupper. We want a permanent solution, not something temporary. We are fully aware that the roughly two dozen cast iron lookouts that support the gallery porch will have to be removed, reset, resupported, and then all of the brickwork remortared.
Okay. And so at this point, you don't have a proposal for the repair of the gallery or a time frame?
We are waiting on Charles Silvernagle to finish his architectural and engineering work. And once he has that completed, Robert Wolf will come in and give us the estimate. Obviously, we are truly waiting for the litigation to play out.
And this is very problematic.
And the staff is okay with
this? We've been very aware of this for quite some time.
Okay.
So we are very sympathetic to this property owner.
So we're not looking for a time frame for removal?
No, I think that what we need is for the architecture committee to approve this temporarily, so at least it's documented, it's in the record, and this will come back to the commission if we need to revisit it.
Okay. Because the repairs are going to be to match existing. You're not going to change the bracket.
Oh, no. It's absolutely not our intention to change anything. We just want to repair and replace in kind.
And that would be a staff level review. Okay. Is there any public comment on this matter? I see no public comment. And so staff would like to add anything at this point?
No, I just think it's important just for everybody to understand that we do not permit and it's not allowed to have water drain from one property to another. And this has been a bad example of exactly why.
Yeah. Okay.
How long has this been going on?
Years.
Since the renovation of...
Can I take an educated guesstimate, but roughly 2017, I believe, is when 918 Bienville, 939 Iberville got their certificate of occupancy and they started. But realistically, the building was built and completed in 16, 17 at the latest. So it's been ongoing for quite some time.
And how many 4x4 posts are there?
I think there's eight.
Eight, okay. And they're in place now?
They're in place right now, yes. Not even eight, maybe six.
Okay.
Okay, if there's no other discussion, are we ready for a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 924 Bienville Street?
In the matter of 924 Bienville Street, I move that we accept the proposal to retain the existing installed 4x4 posts at this time until such time as the litigation is resolved, setting no precedent.
Yeah. Okay. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to 215 through 25 Decatur Street with an applicant present.
Yes, this is a proposal to replace security cameras and access panel per application and materials received April 3rd, 2024 and May 14th, 2024 respectively. The applicant has submitted a document calling for the installation of one new 180-degree dome camera on the front elevation of the building to be located on the wall between the middle and center right bays. The scoping document does not call for the height of the camera or indicate exactly where on the wall it will be placed, and its method of attachment is not noted. The description of work submitted to One Stop also calls for the installation of two cameras on the Iberville side of the building, but these locations are not identified. No dimensions are provided for the camera itself, but the guidelines allow for 8-inch diameter domes in the VCE districts. The guidelines call for cameras to be as small and discreetly located as possible, with mounting hardware to be located within mortar joints. Staff notes that this building has unusually small mortar joints with a unique high-shell content mortar that was recently matched with when extensive facade work was completed. The bricks themselves are a distinctive white glazed brick seen at several Emil Weil properties in the city and had to be specially matched with a new fired-on glaze coating. Staff is extremely reluctant to recommend approval for any hardware that may damage the facade materials. The existing intercom system at the far right bay is proposed to be replaced with a new 2N IP-style intercom access control system. It is shown as a large black touchpad with a 10-inch screen. The website notes the dimensions as 6.7 inches by 14 inches. The depth is 1.6 inches if surface mounted, or 0.86 if flush mounted. Staff finds the intercom to be extremely visually obtrusive and not approvable per the guidelines, and recommends that the smallest, most discreet option available with current technology be pursued. Staff recommends deferral with additional information and/or revisions to be submitted for further review.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Bill Wood of Exxon, with the integrator, 1111 Veterans Memorial Metairie.
And I'm Christina Jones, 215 Decatur Street. I'm the property manager.
Okay. And your role is your technology guy?
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't understand what that was. Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Well, I guess my question is, how is the IP style in not visually improved?
Unfortunately, with the plans examiner not being present, I don't have any better information.
Do you mean this thing?
That as composed as a...
This is something we have never... it's like basically a television screen.
Correct.
Never,
go back to what they have now?
No. I mean, we would approve something. Absolutely. We've never approved, can you go back to it? Anything that's on or that's a screen. Or, frankly, when I saw this come in, I questioned you even wanting this at this location. This is going to get busted up in like
it is. It,
two
it won't
seconds.
Get busted. It is vandal resistant up to a tank rolling over it. It's a touchpad screen that has access control. You can put directories in it so every single person that's in the apartment can get.
How bright is it? Does it stay on all the time? Is it.
It does not stay all the time.
So it's only whenever you touch
correct.
It, it comes on. Okay, these are questions we need answered. How bright is it? Do you know the lumens? The
exact lumens? No.
Will it be flush mounted? Will it be mounted?
It'll be
on
surface mounted because you would have to cut into the brick to do flush mounted.
Okay, so you're going to pull all of that off and then put that on.
Correct.
Okay, these are all things she needs to know. She doesn't have any of this in the proposal. Same thing with the camera, I believe. She didn't have the dimensions on the camera.
The camera's less than 8 inches.
She needs the cut sheets on that. She needs that.
We sent over.
They're in the packet, or at least something like it. I guess
as far as the screen goes, that's up to you guys. That is not something we could do.
So let's talk about the camera. So we have an arrow indicating on slide 90 where this thing might be located.
Yes.
How are you planning on getting a wire to it and how are you mounting it on the building and stuff like that?
Well, it's going to be at the top of the two windows, and we would use the existing window sill to pull the Cat5 wire through, so we wouldn't have to go through the brick facade.
So let's go back to that slide. So, so it's going to be higher. It's going to be at the sill level of the second floor?
It's going to be at the highest windows of the second floor, where the top of the windows are.
That's where the camera's going to be?
Correct.
And wait, I'm sorry, it's going to
be... No, down.
You said the highest of the second.
Right there.
That's first floor. Okay, so, and then where does the wire run?
It'll run, go back to the other screen. The window to the right, it would just, there's, and if you look at the camera, two doors down, it's owned by the House of Blues, it's set up the same exact way. The wire goes through the window sill part, so you don't have to drill into the existing brick and mortar.
So you're talking about the vertical
the frame. Yes.
Okay. And then it kind of comes around the brick?
It would come around and it would be decoratively covered. And it's affixed by a plate and it only takes 4 screws to affix the plate.
So that's the question. Where do the screws?
Is there like a conduit that comes across the brick? Is that?
Or,
well, no, it wouldn't be any conduit. I mean, the wire is only so far. I mean,
so it's a brick mold?
What's that?
Wire molding?
Correct. We could use a wire. We would use a wire.
But I mean, these are the kind of things that they're asking for.
And this is what she's asking for. How is the camera affixed to the
it's
brick?
It's affixed
you said
by four screws. Yeah, that
and
holds
where
the brace
do the four screws go? In the mortar?
It would have to go in the mortar.
Okay. These are all things that she needs to know about the cameras.
Okay, let's talk about
that. But frankly, I don't think the cameras were as big of an issue as
how it's going to be installed. And then the access panel. So what are the standard, you know, guideline issues with this configuration? Just that you haven't seen it before?
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, we're always getting new technology, and we're open to new technology. We just need to sort of understand it better. We need to understand, you know, I can see why you think that this would be cleaner than that, you know,
something
a lot sleeker. But it's just not something that the staff has dealt with yet, so this is why we bring these things to the committee. And so we just need to have these questions answered so we know what we're reviewing. Probably would be very helpful to actually have one in the room so we can see it in, you know, scale, size, depth, you know, all the things about it would be very helpful for us reviewing the technology.
I also think, you know, we're going to want to know when you pull that off, what's the condition of the brick behind it? How are you going to fix that? There's a lot more than just taking one off and slapping one.
And we have seen some of the other ones where they do have screens that stay on all the time. They can
the screen would stay on all the time. You could set it up in a couple of different ways. You can have it go blank until somebody touches it. You could have it where it does stay on all the time. You could have it where there's just a clock. But most of the time, obviously, like any other instrument, a computer or an iPad, you're not going to leave it on all the time to be able to burn the screen.
Right? Sure.
So it goes off after a period of time. It's a the company 2N is a leader in multi-dwelling unit intercoms, and that's why that was chosen by the Toledano properties to be used. Like I said, it's a one-stop directory. It's got a camera, it's got a speaker, it's got an audio that's two-way talk.
So, just back to what we're talking about today. You don't need to sell the technology to us. I think that what the staff is really communicating to you both is that the proposal wasn't really quite as complete as it might be. In other words, you just said we're going to slap a couple pieces of technology on the building. They had a few more questions. I don't find this to be objectionable at a conceptual level, as long as the staff feels that they can fill in blanks.
I mean, we just need to plan it out.
Okay, so we can give you a conceptual approval today, but again, since you're a property manager, just hear this discussion so that the next time you come before us, you might not have had to come here at all if you'd had a more complete proposal. So, is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Would you like to say anything before we get to the motion?
I don't think so.
Staff, anything you'd like to add? Okay. And will this have to go to full commission because it's a new technology, or is this something?
No, I think the architecture would be this.
Okay. I mean, the thing I'm seeing is that, you know, this is a consolidated piece of equipment that's replacing something that's kind of bulky and not that interesting anyway. And, you know, it would be helpful if we knew how far it was sticking out from the building and things like that. But I think we're going to defer that for staff review. And we'll come back here if they have any questions about what you're proposing. But I think that you're going to have to come up with some actual either descriptions or drawings of how you're going to mount both of these things in order to get the staff review.
Including like height of mounting.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we can do that a lot of times with photographs. You can just do your annotate photograph, or, you know, just so we get the information.
Sure.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 215 through 25 Decatur Street?
In the matter of 215 to 25 Decatur Street, I move that we provide conceptual approval for this matter with the understanding that the staff will work with them to reach final design conclusions.
Could you mention the camera and the...
For the camera and the touchpad screen.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. The next item is 1218 Decatur Street. Do we have an applicant present? You do. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 1218 Decatur is a green-rated main building and service building with brown-rated courtyard infill. Because they proposed to replace the existing gallery and balcony decking with new Aratus synthetic decking, including the addition of new metal supports at the gallery level, and synthetic purlins for application materials received April 25th, 2024, and May 21st, 2024, respectively. The applicant proposed to replace the decking in both the second floor gallery and the third floor balcony with new synthetic decking. The change at the balcony level would not require any changes to the structure below the balcony in order to make the change. At the gallery level, however, the existing purlins are spaced too far apart to accommodate the proposed synthetic decking. Rather than adding additional purlins, staff and the applicant have discussed installing intermediate metal supports to achieve the spacing needed. The new metal supports would be simple flat bars welded perpendicular to the existing outriggers. Staff recommended that these metal supports be painted white to blend in with the underside of the decking. The Architecture Committee has approved similar installations previously, and the applicant provided a photograph of a similar installation of intermediate metal bars. Regarding the general proposal to install synthetic decking in these locations, staff finds the circumstances generally align with previous staff recommendations and committee approvals. Both the balcony and gallery are generally open to the sky, and the existing decking is showing significant levels of deterioration. The applicant had explored the idea of proposing a synthetic replacement purlin, but not a satisfactory option could not be sourced, so this aspect of the proposal has been removed. Any purlins in need of replacement will be in matching wood. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposed use of synthetic decking and the use of the proposed metal supports.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Bruce Bloom, I'm a licensed broker. I work for the owner.
And your address is? Your address?
431 Pelican Avenue.
Thanks. Okay, do you have a presentation or a response to the staff?
Well, I mean, you pretty much went through everything. The only thing I think that was still up in the air was could we use synthetic purlins, and they're not available. So, you know, we're just going to have to go with what's normal, which I'm assuming is, you tell me, but I'm assuming it's treated lumber that's painted.
Well, I think the recommendation of this one is...
Any existing ones need to be replaced. Treated lumber and
beaded. Okay, let's just be really specific about this. You know, if you don't want to, I mean, the treated lumber isn't going to hold up in this condition. So I would think you'd want to use a more hardy hardwood, something that's going to resist rot.
Okay, you tell me. I mean,
well, I mean, we're going to review what it looks like, but I'm just saying that for the life cycle of this installation, you may want to consider a more enduring wood.
Yeah, I mean, product. The owner doesn't care how much it costs.
Then the staff will be able to give you some recommendations for wood species.
Yeah, I mean, and just tell us what you want us to use.
And I think that this intermediate steel member is a somewhat brilliant way to communicate what we need for the lattice deck situation. And
I mean, I'm assuming that the existing purlins are not going to be reusable.
That's, I guess, a matter for your contractor to help you with.
I know, but if you're going to spend all this money on keratis, which is, it's a lot of money. It's like $8,000 for this.
Okay.
Just tell us what you want us to use.
I think this aligns with others. Architecture Committee approvals for Arata's decking on green rated buildings. So I think this is consistent.
1309 Decatur.
Right. Is there any public comment on this matter? I see no public comment. Would you like to say anything before we go to a...
Well, I mean, this is a sample of it. Evidently, they have four different colors, but this is a paintable.
That's the one that you'll be required to use. It will have to be painted on all surfaces.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Staff, anything you'd like to add before the little motion? Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 1218 Decatur Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1218 Decatur Street, I move that we accept the metal supports to be used in addition to the existing metal supports and the synthetic decking that has been reviewed by the staff. Also, for the replacement purlins, if there are any, we would like... details to make sure that the existing and the new match.
And that would be millwork drawings to be reviewed at staff level.
Exactly.
Thank
all
you.
To be reviewed at the staff level. Thank you.
I'll second
right.
that.
Is there something?
This is
that
like
can,
we're in the middle of a motion, and then you can ask a question when we get done. I seconded that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Any questions?
I mean, is there a point person that I can talk to about?
Nick is your staff person. Thanks for coming in today. Next matter is 630 St. Ann Street. Do we have an applicant present? I do not see an applicant. Raise your hand if you're present. Nope, no applicant present. We'll come back to St. Ann Street. Are you St. Ann? Robbie?
No, Robbie's next.
Okay. 908 St. Peter, you're up. Okay, we have an applicant present for 908 St. Peter.
917 St. Ann.
Oh, you're 917 St. Ann. Okay. Then come on up.
Robbie Pangelosi, come on down.
This is a proposal for overall restoration, including installation of dependency stairs and reconstruction of chimneys for application and materials received May 6, 2024. This property continues to be under review for incremental restoration of the Blue-rated main building and dependencies. The applicant has submitted a new application for work as follows. Main building. Natural hydraulic lime stucco will be reapplied on the rear and side elevations. The front elevation will be restored with Flemish bond brick, dipped in paint, and all millwork replaced with details to match original openings at the cabinet gallery. The wood decking at both abat-jour will be replaced with random with old growth cypress to match the dependency. At the rear abat-jour, four non-original outriggers will be replaced with the ends to be beaded and curved. The circa 1950s checkerboard marble of the rear loggia will be replaced with herringbone brick, paving with a soldier course border. The restored openings in the rear and burgundy elevations will be filled with board and batten shutters. Details have been provided for the conceptually approved dormer vents, which will be stuccoed on their front faces and cheek walls. A single glazed sash will be installed behind the louvered panels. The copper step flashing is shown where the dormer meets the barrel tile roof system. And copper counter flashing is shown below the dormer sill over the first row of tiles below the dormers. Staff again welcomes the effort to restore this property to its original state, original date of construction, and finds the proposed restoration work conceptually approvable. Staff requests additional information regarding the restoration of the Flemish bond brick facade, as well as the dipped paint to be used. How this detail will wrap the corner of the side elevation should also be indicated in the drawings. Dependencies. The beaded outlookers are to be restored, and exterior switchback stairs will be rebuilt on the St. Anne's side, sides of both buildings, accessing the second floor balconies. New barrel tower roofs will be installed, and the chimneys restored with inverted slate decaps. The non-original doors will be replaced with Gordon batten shutters. Staff finds the work conceptually approvable, but notes that stair sections will be needed prior to permit.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Robert Cangelosi, 1100 Jackson Avenue. I'm the architect on the project.
Do you have a presentation or response to staff report
that you'd like to share? We've been before you numerous times now. We're trying to do a very authentic restoration of this particular building there, here. We've done paint analysis, archaeology work, everything under the sun that I've never done for a private citizen's home. It's more like a museum you would do, but in any case, this is where we're working on it. The front, we've been experimenting with the brick restoration up in that, but the city slapped a stop work order on it, which still cannot find in the files or anything. And I talked to the chief building inspector that y'all gave me, and he doesn't know anything about it. So all work has been stopped. How the brick returns on the side, it's there now. There will be no change on how it returns on the sod of the building there.
What kind of paint are you using?
Excuse me?
What kind of paint are you using for dipping the bricks?
Is it this is something I just learned about, that instead of painting and penciling the brick, that they actually dip the brick so they wouldn't have to pencil the brick, so that they would dip it to get the northern color and then set up with the Thompson's lime or whatever they're doing and the tight butter joints up in that. I was going to use a lime wash on the bricks there, a red lime wash.
Okay. Did you do a paint analysis or any to?
We've done paint analysis of all the woodwork in the place.
But not the,
not on the brick itself, no, yeah. Because at the time it was unclear where we were going with that. Somehow the building was allowed fairly recently to be stuccoed over. They filled in with styrofoam in between the recesses of the openings, and they stuccoed it on over. Aaron tells me that y'all have the recordings, but not the equipment to replay the recordings of that meeting to determine why that was allowed to happen.
Well, I guess some things are better.
We just need to move forward where we are now. So, I mean, well, it's it wouldn't have been a base brick. It's Flemish bond. It's hard. You wouldn't have gone, and they got splayed jack arches. You wouldn't have gone to that extreme in detailing and then covered it on over.
Right. Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant? No questions. Well, I'd just like to say it's never any problem to review a project like this. So thank you for coming back, and I appreciate the depth of scholarship that you're bringing to this.
And the office still stands. Anytime y'all want to come through, the inspectors or anybody else that's out there, and so if y'all want to come through, you're more than welcome to.
Well, thank you for that. Staff, would you like to add anything? Okay. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there a motion in the matter of 917 St. Anne?
I move on the matter of 917 St. Anne that we give conceptual approval for the work as submitted, and ask you to work further with the staff to move forward.
Yeah, so it would be based on staff recommendation. Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks,
Thank
Robin.
You very much.
I appreciate you coming in. 908 St. Peter Street. There's an applicant present. I see no applicant for 908 St. Peter Street. We'll move on to 416 Charters, and I'm going to have to recuse myself from this matter, so I believe the director is going to sit in.
He isn't. He just walked out. Let's go to the next one,
okay.
And then when he comes back.
I'm sorry.
He'll be right back.
then we'll move on to appeals and violations and ask if anybody's present for 616 Conti Street.
Sorry.
We have right. Can't come up and work if he's not here. Do we have a staff report for 616 Conti Street? That's probably Brian.
Yes, hold on. I've got it. Okay, 616 Conti. A proposal to address demolition by neglect and work without permits, including structural repair of roof and masonry courtyard work. Per application materials received 4/5/2024, 4/30/2024, respectively. Multiple proposals for the property have been extensively reviewed in recent years, with several applications nearing permit issuance for a change of use to restaurant. In that time, the rear courtyard infill was demolished and a BZA waiver was sought to re-enclose the open space. The waiver was approved, but applications expired before permits could be issued. The property returned to administrative adjudication, and the applicant has been exploring alternative programmatic uses for the property that can be completed at a lower budget than the original plans for a restaurant. The applicant has submitted a proposal to address immediate demolition by neglect concerns, including demolition of the unpermitted roof dormer, reconstruction of roof framing, and masonry repairs at the surrounding courtyard walls. This work is nearly identical to previous proposals reviewed repeatedly at the committee level. Staff notes that much of the scope of work in these drawings still seems to be informed by future plans for development that may or may not be included in this phase. Staff requests clarification from the architect regarding the extent of work proposed at the front and rear elevations, particularly the rear openings, first floor Conti side millwork, and balcony reconstructions. Notably, these drawings still call for the service wing to be rebuilt and the first floor of the courtyard to be entirely closed. If this work is still planned for future development, it will need to be reviewed separately. This scope of work should be limited to immediate work to make the building watertight and avoid further administrative adjudication. Staff finds proposed masonry repairs consistent with prior approvals, and the proposed structural reframing details at the roof are typical.
So there's a recommendation for approval.
It actually doesn't say it. I think she said at the beginning, yes, because we've been reviewing this.
I know. For several years.
Yes.
Okay.
Good to be back.
So
this is more of a reapproval.
Right. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Samantha Johnson, architect, 2401 Bienville, representing the owner.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to staff report?
Only response is that in regards to her comment about wanting further clarification of any future development, we're still working on that. And the drawings that would be in the final submittal for permit would clarify that any of that uncertain work is not a part of this scope and it'd be limited to the masonry repair and the roof, really focusing on stabilization. To both address the demolition by neglect and preserving what's there for the future redevelopment. The owner is weighing options right now and trying to identify what his path forward is.
And I did meet out with them, with Aaron, and this is more about just getting the building sealed and
right.
moving on from there.
Is there a time frame for this work?
He has a contractor, I guess you would say, on retainer to a degree,
yes.
And he's ready to go. He's been chomping up a bit. We just need the permit, and this was the next step to get it out.
Got it. Okay. Any other questions for the committee? From the committee?
Too many to ask.
I think this is really a reapproval of a small scope of work with a larger renovation. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. So I think that we could make an approval based on the staff recommendation for repair and demolition by neglect.
Okay.
Issues.
Unlimited issues.
Yeah.
For demolition by neglect.
So is there a motion in the matter of 616 Conti Street?
In the matter of 616 Conti Street, I move that we accept the staff recommendations relating to repair regarding demolition by neglect only.
Okay. I'll second that motion. That's going to be sufficient to get them going.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. At this point, we're going to go back to 416
yes.
Charter Street, and I'm going to step aside in favor of director.
And I'm
going to
read. Don't get my musical chairs.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay. 416 Charter Street. Proposal to renovate building, including millwork replacement and new opening connecting to 410 Charter. In construction with a change of use from vacant to cultural facility per application of materials received 5/14/24. The building has been purchased for the Historic New Orleans Collection and will be used to provide ancillary services for the museum, including office space and a workshop on the first floor. The second floor will be white boxed for use in a future phase. Front elevation. The interior slab will be lowered at the brown rated 420 Charter portion of the building to provide an accessible entrance. The three bays closest to Toulouse will be modified as follows. The two bays at center will have the height of their kick rails increased to accommodate the lower slab, otherwise leaving the doors unaltered and uniform when viewed in full elevation. The far left bay will be replaced to have a fixed side panel. The operable lead will be increased in width to 36 inches. The wall of the interior corridor is shown dying into the millwork, but no mullion is shown. Staff suggests that rather than having a six-light inoperable side panel, the side light be designed to resemble a night blind, and this would allow the wall to die into it without visible conflict on the exterior. Courtyard. None of the millwork in the courtyard appears to be original or have any historic value, and much of it is inappropriately sized for the openings. The applicant proposes to replace the first four French doors with new six-light side panel French doors with four-light transoms. The board and batten shutters will die at the transom bar, leaving the transoms exposed. The current openings in the Decatur Shed courtyard elevation are wider than the other elevations and will be infilled with masonry to match. The second floor elevations will receive new 6/6 windows with louvered shutters. Staff finds proposed millwork alterations conceptually approvable. Side elevations. A new door opening is proposed at the rear portion of the green rated building at the 410 Charter Alley to allow for passage between the two museum properties. The applicant consulted with Chief Building Official J.P. Four, who stated that this could likely be handled with an easement rather than a re-subdivision. The door is currently shown as flat. A rated door will be located at the existing pole joint in the masonry. Given its utility use and lack of visibility from any surrounding properties or courtyards, staff has no objection to the proposed appearance of the door. A simple metal awning is also proposed to be installed at this location, bridging between the two buildings. Attachment details will be needed, and permit must be issued for the work at 410 as well, but staff has no issue to this conceptually. However, its detailing could be improved, as it will be visible down the alley from the right-of-way. It is currently called out as a tube steel structure with a standing seam metal roof. A simply detailed copper awning with solid supports would be more appropriate. Several openings at the third floor, brown rated wall, are called out for demolition, but replacement woodwork is not shown clearly in elevation. Staff has no objection to the replacement conceptually, as these conditions are not historic or particularly appropriate. but elevations are needed prior to making a recommendation. Roof and drainage. Staff recently permitted recently permitted repair replacement for both the flat and pitched roofs at this property, but further work will be needed. The green-rated brick parapet has been coated in asphaltic compound, which will be carefully removed and the underlying conditions investigated. New drainage will be added with two overflow scuppers and downspouts in the alley shared with 410. A drainage plan at grade will be needed prior to permit. The brick veneer, wood-framed walls of the brown-rated building will have metal copper flashing, while the masonry walls won't be border capped. Staff notes that the stucco and wood cornice on the front elevation currently have a failing slate cap. Since this is this is underlying wood, the applicant proposes to install copper flashing and counter flashing to be cut into the stucco above the cornice and ending in a bull-nose drip. Overall, staff finds the proposed work conceptually approvable, with revisions and additional details to be provided for further review as noted in the staff report and requested by the committee. All mechanical work must return to the committee for further review prior to permit. Staff recommends the committee forward a positive recommendation for the change of use to the full commission for their consideration, along work requiring commission approval per the design guidelines, such as the new openings at the alley at 410 Charter.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to state their name and address for the record, please?
Marquita Rogers with Traveling Gear Architects, 850 Chuck Lewis.
Great, thank you.
Julia Hodgins, architect, Traveling Gear Architects.
Great, thank you. Do you have a response to the staff report?
Yeah, we are pretty much aligned with this. We've been working with Erin throughout the process, and she was visited the site. One thing that I wanted to bring up, because she focused so closely on it in the staff review, is we're still finalizing the location of the door on that party wall. So I was wondering if we could revise this to be conceptual approval of the door in that wall with final location to be worked out at the staff level.
Got it.
The situation is they have two openings across the way, and operationally it makes sense for it to be shifted a little bit further.
Okay.
The second question is about the need to approve the mechanical equipment at a later date. We were hoping to get early conceptual approval of this as well, because they are trying to order equipment quickly so they can move in the fall. What additional information can I provide you?
Did you submit your spec sheets and everything to her?
We did not.
That's what she's going to need.
Okay.
So she's going to need a roof. I assume this is going on the roof, or this is mechanicals going on the roof.
Yeah, it's going on the roof and the locations.
So roof plan, all your spec sheets, showing locations, all that stuff.
Is there any way to conceptually approve the locations with the exact?
I think because this is going to be minimally visible.
We have locations?
Yeah, we have locations. And, you know, this was Cape Falls before, which they...
Yeah.
We brought
so there was stuff up there.
Ton of stuff up there. We brought the previous roof plan to show you how much is up there. And the reason we located it where we did is there's four existing steel beams.
Yeah.
That two of them are supposed to support the DOAS, and the other two will support the VRF condensers. Since there's not enough space, we'll put some of those lower on the roof.
But it looks like it's pretty far back.
It's pretty far back. Yeah. It's we prepared a sightline study for it, and it's not visible from the street. It's also concealed by 410 Charters, which is also owned by the HNOC, so it's kind of nestled in between some walls in this location.
If I remember correctly, 410 has a whole mess of stuff up there. Already.
Yeah, they just
got approval for a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah,
because they're in ground. What am I trying to say?
Their geothermal
failed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they had to reinstall other stuff. Yeah.
So, and we were willing to work with Erin at the staff level to fine tune these locations. But if we could just have the conceptual that as long as it's out of sight.
I think what I'm seeing is it in elevation on sheet 245
in sheet 3
that right there. Is that the equipment?
That's correct.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's set far enough back to where it wouldn't really be a visibility problem.
I don't know if the sightline study.
No, I agree.
But we submitted one. It's real great. It would be the next sheet.
Oh,
there it is.
Yeah.
So, and the client doesn't want it visible either.
Sure.
So it's, you know, we're working with somebody who shares the same vision.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to do the right thing. If you look at the zoom into the aerial photo,
that's all the
existing. So, you know where they have. I think you see the fans for the old condensing units, and there was a huge rooftop unit. We're cleaning up the roof,
and you're going from kitchen to
business.
I would think that it would be less. The sound would be cleaner. Yeah. It wouldn't be as loud.
The whole situation's getting better. For you all and. You know, they had equipment on those beams, which is why we chose that as a datum. We could, you know, if we find out with Aaron that the need was back, we can move it back, but we're confident we can, it won't be visible.
And we can do the motion. If she's not happy, she can bring her back.
Sure.
You can say it's back.
Yeah. If staff isn't comfortable.
And we'll be back here later on. She mentioned the windows in the, on the third floor. The owner just does not know what they need to do there, so this is not the last.
But I understand that you need to get equipment ordered.
Yeah, we
need
to get equipment somewhere.
I do have a question about our recommendation for change of use. Do we need to discuss that?
That goes, the difference is, just to kind of catch you up, and that's a very, very good question. You know, the BCC does not have jurisdiction over use.
Right.
However, we are to make a recommendation if a change of use would affect the exterior of the building. So this is actually a less aggressive use than a restaurant use. So the recommendation is to forward a positive recommendation to the commission.
So it's like it's like a zoning issue, yes.
Yeah.
Where if you step down, it's an
But if you're going from a museum to a restaurant, you might have you know roof equipment that would be more invasive.
It's going to go back to what it was.
So this is it's an easy one.
Okay.
So very very good question.
And so as part of the motion, do we need to include mentioning the mechanical and the door being provisional, or?
Yes, those are just conceptual.
So just general.
You know, I would put in a motion that, you know, if there's additional information that comes to light, then we may need to bring it back to the committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we just need the flexibility to align the door.
Sure. So before we do go to motion, so is there any public comment? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I'll give it a shot. in the matter of, I'm sorry, where are we? 416 Charter Street. I move for conceptual approval of the submitted documentation with the understanding that mechanical and some other design criteria are not complete at this time. Is that too much?
But it's too much. We're granting conceptual approval.
Conceptual approval, yes.
And the recommendation? Positive recommendation.
Positive recommendation, yes. I'm sorry, y'all.
That's okay.
So,
I'm doing my
that.
Homework as we do it here.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I know it's a lot. It's a lot. I'll
tell you, I wasn't looking at the property report, so that's helping a lot since I pulled that up. Sorry.
No problem.
Good job, you.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is 508 through 16 Bourbon Street. We have an applicant present.
So this is a proposal to demolish and build new stage structure and courtyard for application and materials received March 14th, 2024. Two structures currently exist in the courtyard of 508-16 Bourbon, a bar structure towards the front of the site and the existing gazebo, which was approved by the committee in 2011, but final drawings were not stamped and no permit was issued. The structure also differed from what was approved by the committee, as it was built from unapprovable materials and was not elevated to be used as a stage, but simply provided a covered area for the courtyard. The applicant appealed to retain the 20 by 20 structure, but was willing to modify it to better comply with the guidelines. They then returned with a proposal to completely rebuild the structure, improving the materials, roof pitch, scale, and drainage, which was conceptually approved by the committee on August 23rd, 2022. The commission approved the new construction, but the application expired before final revisions were submitted for staff review and permit. The applicant is now proposing to demolish the structure and build a new covered stage at the rear of the property. The proposed new stage is shown as a freestanding 14 by 12 structure, offset 2 foot 2 by the rear, from the rear royal side property line, with three steps up to a 1 foot 9 tall platform. The columns, trim, roof, drainage, and foundation are all similar to the unbuilt gazebo conceptually approved in 2022. The platform is shown as painted tongue and groove decking over unspecified wood framing. Additional notes need to be added, calling these elements out. Lattice is shown beneath the structure, screening the foundation. 9 recessed LED lights are indicated on the beaded board soffit. Staff is unsure if this property is allowed to have live entertainment, but this will be confirmed with zoning prior to permit issuance. Open space is not an issue, as this structure was smaller than the previously approved gazebo. Staff requests that additional notes be provided, calling out the wood structure below the stage decking, but otherwise finds a proposed covered stage conceptually approvable to be forwarded to the commission for their consideration prior to final review and permit.
Great. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Erica Gates, Gates Reservation, 1026 North Carrollton Avenue, preservation consultant.
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects,
6238 Palomar Boulevard. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
I was just going to make a few comments. We are, of course, we've had some issues with a couple of different tenants involved in the previous structure that was not built per specifications and everything. So we're just trying to make this something that it works best for the building's current use and is something a little bit more in line with what the BCC would prefer to see in this space. This is, of course, in conjunction with all the other violations that are being addressed with staff level approval, but we're happy to kind of get something that could be less intrusive than what's currently there and still function as the space needs it.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant?
No.
So I have a couple things I just want to... So this will be a truly freestanding structure. There'll be no attachment to...
No historic fabric.
Good.
No touching.
And your owner is committed to removing the other non-permitted construction.
Yes, that, it's going to be a big improvement on that one that was built in directly and not through buildings.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Is there any public comment on this matter? Big audience out there. No public comment.
And this is for live music or entertainment?
What is this?
Okay.
I mean, I believe
it
is allowed.
We
have to
get
a permit.
I have no idea.
It's not
really our... No, it's not, but
the business is allowed.
Someone's going to call me and ask, so I'm curious.
So I think our approval should be, our conceptual should be based on zoning verification of live.
Yeah,
we're not going to... Yeah. I mean, the idea here is we're not going to approve this construction if there's not a use for it.
Yes, right.
Which is allowed by zoning.
Yeah, that'll all be flushed out in the building permit.
Okay,
process, but
great.
But we go to the BCC first.
Would you like to say anything before we go to motion?
Yes.
Staff, anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
One small comment. Okay. In reference to Aaron's comment about framing, I typically don't do framing plans for an initial conceptual approval, but of course we will have floor deck and roof framing plans as part of the project set of drawings when it gets to that stage.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 508 through 16 Bourbon Street?
In the matter of 508 through 516 Bourbon Street, I move that we give conceptual approval for the proposed gazebo. With an understanding that zoning will be approved prior to permit.
And perhaps that the existing non-conforming structure will be removed as a stipulation.
Yes.
Okay, I'll approve that motion with a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, the motion passes. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for cleaning this up. It's going to be much improved.
Much happier with this iteration.
So is there an applicant present for 541 Decatur Street? You are here. Is it the same? Everybody's the same. Can we have the staff report, please?
This is a proposal to address violations and appeal to retain and modify fourth floor wall reconstructed without permit following hurricane damage. The applicant has submitted a plan to address longstanding demolition by neglect and work without permit violations, some of which can be handled at staff level. The following items require committee review. The St. Louis side gable wall collapsed onto 535 during Hurricane Ida and was reconstructed without benefit of BCC review or approval. As part of this work, a 6x6 window that had not previously existed was installed, and two chimneys that previously existed were not restored. Additionally, the wall was rebuilt with a copper parapet cap, and the masonry was stuccoed and painted. Staff notes that at some point between 2017 and 2019, the previously existing wall had been capped with metal and stucco, which was cited as a work without permit violation and reviewed for retention by the committee in 2019, deferred to allow for an inspection that never occurred. Unfortunately, the post-IDA work could have corrected those work without permit issues, but no permit or approval was sought, so the work was redone to match conditions that were in violation. The applicant is appealing to retain the stucco wall and the cap, but proposes to infill the window opening, and restore the chimneys with free steel frame construction. Staff notes that the Department of Safety and Permits will also have to review this work and approve retention since it's structural. Additionally, another metal cap is present at a parapet bisecting the roof. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding retention of the structural repairs. The applicant is appealing to retain windows installed without benefit of review and approval on Decatur elevation, but no detailed information has been submitted, just drone photos, not taken by the BCC.
No, those were taken by us.
For the record.
Images
of the head, jamb, sill, and mutton profile should be submitted for consideration. If they are appropriate for the period of the building, retention can be handled at staff level. Openings that are currently filled with plywood on the Toulouse elevation are noted as, quote, restore existing windows and reinstall, end quote. It is not clear if sashes have been removed and need to be reinstalled, or if new millwork will be done, but these openings have been substantially modified and could be improved. No drawings or details have been submitted. The applicant proposes to replace the deteriorated balcony with Meritus decking, including new stringers. No dimensions have been provided for the balcony, so it is unclear if an additional stringer will be needed to accommodate the 16-inch on-center span of Meritus. The building is green-rated, and the unofficial guidelines for synthetic decking recommend it only be used on buildings that are yellow-rated or lower. However, some leniency has been given to properties that are green-rated but have uncovered balconies. Staff notes that this balcony may be more significantly exposed to inclement weather conditions than many others due to the proximity to the river. The applicant should provide the stringer spacing and return to the committee. Staff notes that mechanical equipment and a platform appear to have been installed in conjunction with the opening of a new restaurant at this property. With no permits issued for the work, it was performed after the most recent BCC violation case was opened and has therefore not been cited, but Safety and Permits has requested access for inspection to see if the conditions are approvable for retention. BCC approval must also be sought before the Department of Safety and Permits can issue any retroactive permits for this work. Considering this item remains outstanding, staff recommends deferral until a full proposal that includes this work is provided for committee consideration.
Okay. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Erica Gates Preservation, 1026 North Carrollton Avenue, and Preservation Consultant.
Catherine Harmon, Belfay Harmon Architects, 6238 Auburn Boulevard, New Orleans.
Okay, we have a lot of things to talk about. Would you like to make a presentation or response to the staff report to get us started?
I'll try to hit on the some of the different items here in response, and of course we have a bunch we can discuss for your concerns as well. Our major issue, of course, being this wall reconstructed without permit post-IDA.
they, of course, the contractor and owner saw this as an emergency repair that needed to be done, despite, you know, their knowledge that they can't get emergency permits. They went ahead and went forward with this work. Upon review, my involvement and kind of review of all the outstanding issues here, I did inform them that they had been reconstructed incorrectly. They were not aware that the chimneys had been in place, etc. So we are fully intending to reconstruct it as it would have appeared previously, and we'll be absolutely working with the staff on any details that we need to do in order to achieve that. As far as the windows that she has, that Erin has commented on with this, we can provide some additional, of course, additional documentation of the existing. We have windows that are currently intended to be repaired. If ECC staff or ABC would prefer to have more historically appropriate windows installed there, that is also an option that the owner will definitely abide by. If that's the preference, as the current windows are in need of major work anyway, so replacement is not a huge difference. Mainly replacement was in order to avoid the millwork drawings and things like that needed for replacement windows. But if we prefer to go back to something that's more historically accurate, we can definitely work on that. With the Airdus decking, for 601 Decatur, the street was the building adjacent to it, same rating, same location, kind of general, same general exposure, does have BCC approved Airdus decking on their gallery there. As far as this, so I think comparatively, those are it's a good case study example for having Airdus on the same on this property as well. As far as the stringer spacing, on the side, which is a balcony on the Toulouse side, would be appropriate as 16 inches spacing. However, the stringers on the Decatur side, which are a gallery depth, are about 2 foot on center spacing for those. So those would have to be, a stringer would have to be added in order to accommodate the air stacking. But we can certainly provide more details on that as well. Let me know if you have any other questions. But
talk to us about the chimney.
The chimneys, of course, were probably brick before they fell down. But because we were restoring them, I just felt like it was excessive to do brick that was going to be concealed for, you know, a non-functional chimney. I mean, it's going to look just like it looked previously. And it would be one width of brick to receive the stucco so as not to cause cracking and differential from having a different substrate than the rest of the gable wall. But the rest of it, I was just thought it was a good idea to use metal stud framing to create the box of the chimney.
As the fireplaces do not, you know, that will exist on the interior.
Right, if there's no very marked fireplaces to start, but it's maybe a historic.
And what is the history of what is approvable in these locations?
Let's look at looks to the staff. This is kind of an odd proposal.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I just said. I mean, it was a hurricane, and it seems like a false sense of history to me.
Mm-hmm.
To redo it,
we're absolutely open to however, you know, feel that. We would like to do what the BCC would like as far as you are willing to correct the mistakes that were made. They did it without approval and without any research.
Agreed.
And so we just wanted to make it right. However, we're absolutely open to.
But the chimneys came down as part of the hurricane damage,
correct.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the issue. They didn't rebuild them because they were no longer visible. There was no indication that they existed.
Right.
The window was a personal preference and based on fire concerns and stuff.
Sure.
We recommend that they get rid of that.
Let's be clear. The chaseway for the chimney looks like it appears in the damaged roof. I mean, the masonry came up through the roof prior to the storm.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a slide 343. And at least the front chimney clearly had an expression at the roof level as a masonry cylinder.
So you're saying that the dimensions of it were bigger than what's being proposed to replace it?
What I'm saying is that it was physically present as a masonry structure, you know, before the storm took it. And I'm kind of trying to understand why you wouldn't just propose building it up in masonry.
Well, it was presenting structural concerns. It's on the fourth floor. And to bear all that masonry on wood framing.
I mean, they've been removed below? The chimney breast has been moved down from below the roof level. So there's no, you have the common wall, and then you have the chimney that comes up, and it's part of the common wall. They've removed all that material below?
It's just a flush brick wall. We have pictures of it. I've been in there. I've gone in to measure. And it was going to be the issue of how to transfer the load down to the foundation. I mean, so that's how I came up with the metal studs. It was a structural reason, to be honest. It was a structural reason.
Has staff been out to look at this at all?
No, they won't.
We had some issues with access. We are working on that. We tried to visit it last week with the TARDIS property, and we're not unable to do so, but we're working on the access with that, as well as the HVAC with safety and permits. So we've not been granted access yet.
I believe Noah's been asking since January.
Well, I mean, the point here is, I guess you're telling us something that isn't part of the documentation for the building, you know, that you don't have structural support for a masonry chimney coming up through the roof.
I think a case could be made that since it was sort of an act of God that brought these chimneys down, that the removal of the chimneys is something that the committee could consider to be retained. Instead of building false ones.
I don't think that building a false one is really the thing to do. Would you be willing to build a step in the parapet to indicate the dimension of where it was?
Yeah, that's something that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I think that's probably a middle ground that would allow you to mark the chimney, mark what happened to it.
When you say step, you just mean like the width of the parapet wall?
Yeah. And just showing, like, if the parapet's coming down like this and the chimney was this wide, it would just kind of come like that.
Okay.
So it would look like the profile of the chimney, but not as high as the chimney was, because you won't have any lateral support.
Flat level,
the
section where that.
So I mean, at least it would tell somebody where that chimney was.
Yeah,
and that'd
I
be
agree.
For both the front and the back.
Yeah, it wouldn't require any metal stud framing.
Right.
No, nothing.
To transfer.
And you'd have a continuous flash line along the edge of your parapet.
That's a good idea.
Okay, we're going to get to the bottom of this. The erratus decking. So, did you say you're going to respace the purlins?
The gallery section, those are 2 foot on center, so that would require an additional.
This introduction of an intermediary metal section to support the deck but not attach it is something I think is probably, like we saw in the previous application, I think that might be a good detail to look at, so you can keep the spacing of the original purlins in place and just provide a stiffener mid-span.
And I'm not familiar with, I was paying attention, but absolutely something. If you did that for purlins, certainly.
And then, are we talking about the stucco finish on the masonry wall? Is that one of...
I don't recall that part.
I don't
think that's in here.
So
originally it was an exposed brick?
That's actually something I was confused about as well, because we had not had a conversation about that until I read it here in this report. There was significant conversations about stucco on the other parts of the building, but there was never a conversation about this. Because as far as I've been back in the pictometry images, I've always seen stucco on this facade. So I'm not sure if we have a misunderstanding about that or not.
You could make your motion that one way or the other, and then once we can go confirm this with Aaron, it might determine whether it needs to come back or not.
Well, I don't know. We would conceptual approve retention of?
Well, if you want to approve, I mean, since we don't know, or it doesn't seem like anybody in the room knows what the original condition was, what would be the why don't we do it this way? If our research indicates that the gable was originally exposed brick, then you could not grant retention. However, if we determine that it was previously stucco, you could determine that it wouldn't need retention because it's a pre-existing condition.
Okay.
Either way, you retain it. Does that make sense at all?
I have a better idea. I think we should defer this and just let this kind of short laundry list of things be documented mm-hmm. with some kind of documentation, get the clarification from staff so that we aren't kind of making stuff up on the fly.
Yes, I agree.
So, I mean, I think that we've talked through, let's talk about windows, though. Mm-hmm. And so you were willing to work with the staff to mill new windows?
Yeah, we have some windows that are currently not in place in the building that have plywood enclosures right now. Those windows, the proposal was to restore them and reinstall them. The comment from staff, of course, being that they were not really historically appropriate anyway. We're talking mostly about the Toulouse sidewall. You can see kind of from that image where we have a little bit of a infill of wood mm-hmm. in some places, particularly on that third floor. These are mostly third, fourth floor windows that we're talking about. So if the staff would prefer, we could propose, you know, windows that fully incorporate into the opening instead of restoring what's currently there.
And you'll be removing the window from the gable end?
The window from the gable end is being removed either way because
okay.
we feel that's a fire issue.
And then this will give you time to work through mechanical permits with Department of Safety and permits. Is there any public comment on all the stuff that we've been talking about? No public comment. Doesn't surprise me much at all. do you mind if I make the motion this time?
Please make the motion.
Okay.
I have a list, but I'm...
Oh, do you want to
finish? No.
Okay.
No.
In the matter of 41 Decatur Street, I move to defer to allow the applicant to come back and give us more clarification on the details for the Aratus decking, which we find to be approvable, but we need additional details. To modify the marking of where the chimneys previously existed on the Tekonti Street side wall, to clarify whether the masonry was exposed or stucco finished prior to Hurricane Ida, to make a proposal for retention or not based on that information, to make a proposal for replacement windows and for removal of the window on the Tekonti Street side, to clarify the mechanical placement with Department of Safety and Permits, and to report, have the staff report back to us on that matter. I think that covers everything. Do we have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. So you're going to have to come back, but I think the important stuff we've covered, and now you just have to document it for us. Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks.
We're going to go to 536 through 40 Charter Street. Eric is here. Do we have a staff report?
This is a proposal to address work without permit and demolition by neglect violations, including but not limited to appeals to retain mechanical equipment and unpermitted courtyard service L enclosure. Following repeated administrative adjudication, the applicant has submitted a proposal to address longstanding demolition by neglect and work without permit violations, many of which can be handled at staff level. The most significant items requiring committee review are related to work without permit in conjunction with the property's current restaurant use. The property was renovated to accommodate a restaurant in 2009, but no permits have been issued for work since then. The last permit issued for this property at all was in 2010. Drawings from the 2010 renovation of the upper floors shows that at the time, the overall property needed 5 condensers located at grade. Additionally, the restrooms for the property were located in the third stable bay at the rear of the first floor dependency behind 536 Charters. Since then, the mechanical equipment has been relocated above grade with 4 units mounted to the rear wall of the main building above their approved locations, and 7 additional units located on the second floor balcony of the rear dependency. Additionally, the first 2 stable bays of the dependency behind 538 and 540 were enclosed to create bathrooms. The applicant is appealing to retain this work as existing. Bathroom enclosures on the first floor are troubling, but staff notes that their appearance obviously reads as a later intervention and not a historic enclosure. The guidelines do not address this situation specifically. Therefore, staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding whether or not this enclosure can be considered for retention. Staff notes that open space at this property is extremely limited, and any relocation of mechanical equipment to grave would require an open space waiver from the BZA. However, staff does not find the retention of the existing conditions to be approvable, as mounted installations and balcony installation are both highly discouraged by the design guidelines, and none of the work is code compliant with the mechanical division. Staff recommends that the applicant consult a mechanical engineer and propose a rearrangement of the units on a platform in the courtyard and pursue a waiver from the BZA for the reduction of open space. Staff was also concerned that the rear wall of the dependency could be structurally compromised. A report submitted by Johan Palacios PE at Pace Group LLC states that the rear elevation is structurally sound and that the lean is not a life safety or structural issue. Staff inspected the site and found that the interior alley that runs behind the wall along the first two stable bays, now enclosed bathrooms, has a poured concrete slab that could have contributed to this previous movement. Staff recommends that these conditions continue to be observed. Additionally, there are unusual small openings in this wall that are currently open to the elements. First floor is a less of a concern since this is an interior alley, but the upper floors are enclosed, interior space, and water intrusion is a significant issue. The applicant proposes to install single board and batten shutters in these openings. Since they are unusual in size and location, staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the appropriateness of this proposal. Overall, staff recommends deferral of the application with the applicant to respond to staff and committee comment and requests for additional submittals.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and addresses and relationship to the property, please? Mm-hmm.
Erica Gates, Gates Reservation, 1026 North Carrollton Avenue, preservation consultant for the building tenant. Just as a comment as well, the original engineering report was that we would, that was included was done on behalf of the owner. Since the tenant is taking over charge for the actual work with in cooperation and financial cooperation with the owner, they have requested that their own own engineer also look at it and be present for this meeting. So on that, I will.
That's me. Yes. Alan Harris, Harris Development and Design, address 37 Metairie Court, Metairie, Louisiana, 7001, acting as structural engineer for this project.
Are you a structural engineer?
I'm a civil engineer, acting as a structural engineer.
Okay. So have you reviewed the PACE letter?
I've reviewed the PACE letter, and coincidentally, in 2017, Carub Engineering also worked there. They wrote a report on this project, where I wrote a report for Carub Engineering on this project in 2017, and very similar, at that point we only looked at this back wall, and it was a very similar conclusion to what Pace said. It is bulging but doesn't appear to be moving, and I couldn't find photos in the file, but I found some Google Street View, and it appeared to be in approximately the same condition then as it is now. So I have not completed another site visit, a thorough site visit, since being engaged with the tenant. But I'm thinking my findings will be similar.
Is the wall being monitored for movement?
Not by me. I don't know.
Do you have a plan for monitoring it?
What's that?
Hey, do you have a plan for monitoring it?
In 2017, my report recommended every 6 months. Like I said, I don't know who that was addressed to, because it wasn't. I don't think it was. It's not the same addressee that Johan addresses to, and it's not to the tenant, so maybe it's a different tenant.
Maybe the previous tenant.
Yeah, very possible.
A lot of that.
Yeah.
Huh. So nobody's taking responsibility for the wall, really?
I mean, I think
it's just been handed from one engineer to another,
correct,
from one tenant to another.
And
everybody's saying, well, look at that, nothing's happened. But they don't have any basis for that. You haven't been back out since 2017.
I'm not sure when the report was. Yeah, I think it was 17. Yeah.
And meanwhile, we don't know if the bulge is getting bigger, if the wall's moving.
I think the bulge is getting bigger.
Well, we've taken pictures documenting it significantly.
Yeah.
It's been visited at least every 2 years by an engineer.
But never the same engineer.
And
so, I mean, what good is that? I mean, it's like it's a new morning every time you wake up, too.
I think there'd be signs of movement, though, if it was moving. I like I said, I'm not. I did go by the site the other day, and meeting there was a conflict, and I couldn't stay. So, but when I looked at it briefly, there didn't appear to be the skin, the whatever that is, stucco, didn't appear to be falling. There didn't look like new cracks. There wasn't, you know, debris on the ground, which is very indicative of movement. You know, if something's moving, something's going to crack, fail, move with it.
And the proposal here is to remove stucco, you know, especially the damaged stucco, and to repoint and to restucco, and then following that, of course, regular inspection of that wall, especially once it's been repointed and everything. Any kind of movement will be blindingly obvious as well. So I think regular observation of this wall is part of its long-term plan, and will need to be motioned as such.
How can the commission enforce that?
I'm sorry?
How can the commission enforce that?
With regular inspection?
By the commission staff.
That's very, very difficult to do. Yeah.
But it is also very readily visible by.
Well, you know, what I'd like to see is structural engineer to make a proposal for how to monitor this wall so that any kind of measurements could be passed from one responsible engineer or tenant to the next, so that, in other words, you have a baseline measurement or measurements that you can refer to when you go back out there, or when somebody else who files a report with the commission staff on a regular basis, so we know if it is moving.
It's a little tricky to prescribe something that can be monitored from, you know, time frame to time frame. I guess the only thing you really do is possibly install some piano wire on the edges of the building, and then, you know, monitor the space between the piano wire and, you know, certain increments. Because if you try to survey it, you know, a survey instrument's not going to be within maybe a half of an inch when you're trying to do something like this. And, you know, you're not going to really be able to monitor that too terribly closely with survey instrument. Visual is one of the better ones. You can, of course, do a crack monitor, but that's not going to show the entire wall moving. That's going to be individual, if individual cracks are moving, not necessarily the whole wall bowing out.
Well, what
I said, maybe you could possibly do some, maybe set up maybe two or three piano wires that span the entire width or, you know, height or length of the building, and establish those at certain markers. You know, the problem is you've got to get them out of, becomes tricky to monitor them, they got to be above where other people can mess with them, you know, somebody can cut it or whatever, you know, who tourist people just walking by just cutting it, damaging it, and then.
Well, I think that what we're looking for is a proposal to monitor this wall, and okay. So it sounds like you have a couple of really great ideas. This seems to be the big issue here. Everything else.
Well, this is the great issue.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yes. I think the
everything else.
This mess is.
Yeah, the HVAC is certainly something we want to get your feelings on as well.
I'm trying to get to the.
And the enclosure of the stable bays.
And then these bays here were enclosed and made into restrooms. The third one is actually open. Still. I'm not sure. I think the bigger issue, Rick, is the mechanical up here, and can you see what's right here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the disconnect switch is mounted to the railing.
The disconnect switch is mounted to the railing.
Oh, good lord.
For every single unit that's up there. Mm-hmm. What did we say, Erica? 8 units are up there?
There are 3 that are suspended over the, on your right hand side where you can see that structure.
All of this.
Uh-huh. And then that would leave 7 on the up.
Frankly, I don't, a structural engineer might need to look at this too.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is soft red bricks. I was in there last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just sort of like hanging.
You know, I think that what this might do, I mean, your main documentation here is Habs drawings that were drawn over 80 years ago. I think what this building needs is somebody to actually take care of it. And frankly, I don't think this proposal is showing care. It sounds like you're kind of addressing a checklist of things
that
might be an issue, but it's not really looking at the building's whole health or the change that's going on to accommodate this use.
One of the reasons we included the Habs drawings was mostly to kind of help staff and yourselves kind of feel the spatial issues, particularly in the courtyard. One of the things that we have the biggest concern on that we would kind of like your feedback is regarding to locations of HVAC. We started with the proposal to retain something because that's kind of opener to the conversation. Because of course we have a very small courtyard. Roof is, you know, roof mounting is not a desirable option. Staff was able to go and visit it last Thursday, so we were able to kind of talk through some ideas as far as possibly doing kind of almost a mechanical enclosure in the last bay that you see here, right here. And maybe, you know, so that we could have a mechanical platform and enclosing that space with a fence of some kind that they're able to have a fire escape from. But then kind of committing some space to the mechanical issues here.
Because So let's just put it this way. I don't think this committee is going to allow retention.
Yes.
And so I think that the kindest thing we can do is to offer you deferral so you can actually be proactive in coming back with an actual proposal for placing these units in appropriate locations.
Well, we did want to get your understanding of, do you feel kind of that enclosing that kind of back bay is a possibility, because it's something we hadn't really considered until the staff brought it up, and kind of committing to mechanical
this
towards the back wall.
Area.
So,
yeah,
right, that whole area.
How do you feel about that?
And then putting,
before we come back
in this
wall.
In this arch, putting some sort of lattice gate that would sort of keep all the mechanical back there.
Okay, let me just look at
shutters that.
So, or something, some, you know.
And one other thing that we did discuss that we kind of went comparing that option to the upper floors of this service building are not accessible. There is a second and third floor of the service building. There is no stair access to it. It has to be accessed by a ladder. So one of the things that we did kind of consider that I know had been discussed and applied in a few special cases in French Quarter was possible placement of units inside the service building with a ventilation system to keep airflow. That would, of course, require more documentation to be brought to you, but I wanted to give you those two options as we discussed them on our site visit and how you feel about those.
So could you go to the Habs drawings, and then could you point to where this courtyard that you want to enclose is?
Mine
were.
Thank you.
Yes.
Go back one more.
No, but this would be the side. So this is where the bathrooms are right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But this one is actually still open.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in it. So she was saying, possibly put something in there, or maybe out here on this wall.
Hmm.
I mean, how much space do you need for, seems like you need a lot.
Yeah, that's the
issue. So is it that whole back quadrant?
And if they were stacked, then that would reduce the amount of open space variance they would need to request from the BCA.
Yeah, I think you have way too many issues for us to even give you direction here.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, you've posed a couple of interesting things and a couple of very uninteresting things. But I'm not going to sit here and try to understand a relatively complicated building and a very complicated mechanical system and try to give you advice that you can actually lean back on. I mean, it's just not my job. Your job is to come with a proposal. Right now it's for retention. That's not going to happen. And so I think you need to be proactive and understand, you know, what's going on with this building. I mean, it extends to the masonry, it extends to the mechanical systems, and apparently a whole laundry list of other things that just haven't been dealt with over a long period of time. So my best recommendation here is that we give you a deferral for 30 days to allow you to work with the staff to come up with a plan to address all these significant issues with the building. And I would include a plan for monitoring this wall that can be sustained either by you or by someone else. Because, you know, again, as you pass this project from one structural engineer to another, there's no continuity. So we really don't know what's going on. I mean, there's just no way to know. Because you take one look at it and then you go away. Well, who knows what happens when the next guy looks at it. So is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see a public comment. Staff, are we taking the right approach here? Are you recommend for deferral? I mean, I think what I'm trying to communicate to you, Ms. Gates, is you need to involve a design professional or several design professionals to figure this out. I mean, this is not just a preservation consulting issue. This is like a whole building thing. It's like, get an architect, get a structural engineer, get a mechanical engineer, figure it out. Okay, you can't do this with a spreadsheet of check marks. Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 536 through 40 Charter Street?
In the matter of 536 through 40 Charter Street, I move that we defer this for 30 days for further work by the applicant.
Yes, I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. Look forward to seeing you in a month. Next item is 327 Bourbon Street. Do you have an applicant present? It's you again.
Yes, you're done.
Thank you.
This is a review of masonry conditions following the implemented removal of all paint from the Bourbon Street elevation from materials received May 14th, 2024. Permits were issued to begin work on the Bourbon Street elevation of the main building back on November 29th, 2023. That approval included repainting the existing brick to match existing. While work was underway, staff observed that paint was being completely stripped from the masonry. Staff requested that the work stripping the paint stop until a new proposal could be submitted for review. Work, however, continued, and the entirety of the front elevation was completely stripped with paint. The applicant initially proposed either leaving the masonry unpainted or applying a lime wash to the entire elevation. After additional analysis, the applicant noted that there was evidence of previously repointed areas of the wall that were not done well and would make leaving the brick unpainted less than ideal. With that, the applicant is left with the proposal to lime wash this masonry. Staff has concerns regarding the application and maintenance required with an additional lime wash and suggests that more typical paint may be the better option here. The applicant prepared color samples with the existing exposed masonry, trying to pick a color matching the existing bricks, and suggested the color Spanish red. Staff agrees this color appears to match well in the photograph, but is concerned about the true color of the paint and how the color will fade over time. Staff suggests a darker color may be a better option. If the committee approves repainting this elevation, staff notes that a sample of the paint will be required. The masonry on this elevation will also be repointed as part of the work. Staff has required that a mortar analysis be completed on the existing mortar to accurately match with the new mortar. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposal.
State your name and address in relationship to the property.
Erica Gates, Gates Preservation, 1026 North Carrollton Avenue, a tax credit and preservation consultant for the building owner.
Okay, do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
So the contractor, misunderstanding the scope of his permit, started to strip paint from the facade. Though it was beneficial in exposing some historic conditions, that kind of made staff and I discuss other options than what was previously permitted as far as the color of the wall and treatment of how that would be applied. Given the condition of the quite good condition of the brick and their ability to strip old paints off to expose the historic brick, the contractor was really kind of dead set on repointing the historic or the decorative mortar joints and leaving it unpainted. We just further discussed that as far as the historical appropriateness of that, and then of course the issue we had with previous work being done around the second floor balcony, which was not in keeping with the same size of mortar joint.
The joints don't match.
It was not done. So that would be, of course, a very distracting issue with keeping it unpainted. So I definitely think that painting is some form of painting is the appropriate solution historically, you know, for historic accuracy and practicality. Also, given that this is Bourbon Street, we have some demands on the use of the building and the public space that we have concerns about. So we would like, because staff and I have been discussing the appropriateness, of course, lime wash we think is not a good maintenance option. We've considered lime paint, since we do have a good facade for which to use lime paint. But with that maintenance concern, also should we also just consider a traditional paint and focus, you know, given we're concerned about long-term maintenance and kind of reapplying and dealing with graffiti, so should we go forward, I guess, with a lime paint or a traditional modern paint is really our question.
When you say traditional, you're talking about a latex-based paint?
Yes.
Did you do a paint analysis to figure out what the contractor had taken off?
We went through all the different layers. We did visual analysis. We were not able to do chemical analysis. We are also in the process of doing a chemical study of the mortar so that we will have that in order to repoint this wall appropriately. So that's in process. But we did identify through visual analysis of all the different layers, and then, of course, corresponding that with a lot of this, with historic pictures of this property, we kind of were able to pinpoint some, at least certainly through the 20th century, the colors that had been applied applied here and kind of where they changed in material.
Right, the bricks were originally painted.
Yes.
Individually painted. I had Mr. Kangela say goodbye and take a visual.
And this is what we did at the convent.
It's exactly what you did at the convent. Well,
I think you need to latex paint, no. Okay.
Please, thank you.
So I think you need to come up with a paint that's going to be kind to these bricks and also bond well with that material. But I think you should do that based on analysis of what was, you know, the layers, especially the layer closest to the brick face, just so you get the right thing. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be able to do this. It's just a matter of doing the analysis.
Staff likewise thought that would be the best decision, mostly because the size of these pencil joints, nobody's ever going to get it right.
Yeah.
And it's a huge building, it's blue rated, it's...
Yeah, I think you just need to go to that next level of analysis.
Yeah, looking to balance out historically appropriate and the realities of the street that's on.
And that's going to give you both an accurate color profile and also a chemical profile for the paint. Whatever you're coding it is going to be.
So while you're testing the mortar, test the paint.
Right.
Yeah. So is there any public comment? Robbie, you're here. Okay. I'm sorry? Okay. So we have no public comment.
Yeah.
So is there a motion for deferral in this matter?
So are we deferring?
Oh, we're definitely deferring.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not voting for anything, but...
Oh, I just wasn't sure if we were going to do a staff review of the chemical stuff. No.
I'm kind of interested in finding out what happens.
Okay, good. Well, you have a point there. So I move for deferral for, is 30 days enough for the chemical analysis?
Oh, probably. I mean, the staff can bring it back.
Okay.
Absolutely.
In the matter of 327 Bourbon Street, I move for a 30-day deferral for additional testing.
Paint color
and mortar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll second that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thanks for coming in. And Robbie, 927 through 29 St. Anne Street.
927-29 St. Anne is a green rated main building and service building. This is a proposal
to address longstanding demolition by neglect violations, including structural repairs to the service hall balcony. Her application materials were received May 5th, 2024. The property has been vacant for years and in a state of severe demolition by neglect, much of it due to rampant vegetation growth that has recently been cleared. Permits were issued for work at the main building following several adjudication hearings, which has now been completed. At the rear building, staff noted that the balcony has been in an obvious state of collapse for some time and was concerned that there could be pervasive structural issues. No engineer's report has been provided evaluating the full structure, but the applicant has submitted plans for extensive repairs. The work calls for stucco sounding, crack repair, millwork repair and replacement, and replacement of balcony decking, columns, and rails. Note 13 states, quote, replace outer two structural outlookers per detail or replace the entire length of the member. The corresponding detail calls for approximately 4 feet of the interior portion of the outlooker to be spliced, sistered, and screwed. Additionally, two through-wall AC units at the rear elevation will be removed and patched with masonry and stucco. Staff notes that the plans refer to the work as exterior renovation only. While the VCC only has jurisdiction over the exterior, staff strongly urges the applicant to also perform interior masonry repairs, as the inside is also in desperate need of repointing, and exterior work on its own will only do so much to stabilize the walls. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the proposed structural work, but finds the remainder of the scope approvable as submitted.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Robert Pangelosi, 1100 Jackson Avenue. I'm the architect on the project.
Do you have a response to the staff report or a presentation you'd like to share?
I did have a structural engineer come and look at the building. That was Ashenovegno, and he's the one that prepared the detail here for the repair of the outlookers for the balcony there, which are really the joists which extend on out to form the balcony up there. I was not asked to address anything on the interior, and I agree it's a mess on the interior. People have been living in there, apparently. I found evidence of people getting there to live.
I'm thankful that you're involved in this project. Mm-hmm. This has been,
it's a problem. And in fact, when I originally was asked to go look at it, I said, I can't do anything. You got to get rid of all the vegetation. I couldn't even see the building. Mm-hmm. It was so bad. Hmm. So they're moving towards doing something with it.
Robbie, as far as I know, I saw some pictures of the front building that looked like this property still has power going to it. Do you know if that's...
I've seen lights on the main building. This building back here, there's this huge conduit going across there, which I'm pulling off there because there's no active power in the back building.
Okay.
Well, we have a staff recommendation for approval. I don't see anything. I mean, you're going to fix the building up.
Pretty sure I asked if, I was covering everything, and was I understanding all the violations, and I thought I was covering them all as it was written up as you were looking for.
Well, I'm sure you'll
but
come
it's
back.
Only exterior work I'm doing.
Yeah, and that's all right. We have jurisdiction over. Is there any public comment on this proposal from the audience? I see no public comment. Do you have to say anything before we go to a motion? Is there a motion in the matter of 927 through 29 St. Anne Street?
In the matter of 927, 929 St. Anne Street, I move we accept the application as submitted.
With the staff recommendation for approval. And I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in, Robbie. We're going to go back to 630 St. Anne and ask if anybody's present. We have no applicant present. Was the applicant notified in advance of the time and date of the meeting?
Yes.
Did they intend to appear? So staff, I think deferring is the thing to do here. It's not a violation.
That'd be fine.
Okay. Do I have a motion to defer 630 St. Anne Street so the applicant can be present?
I move that we defer the review of 630 St. Anne Street until the next meeting.
So the applicant can be present?
That the applicant can be present for the meeting.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. We'll go to item... I'm going to have trouble reading this.
908 St. Peter.
There you go, 908 St. Peter. Is the applicant present? What are you here for? Okay, well, thanks for coming. That's good. You're a very patient person.
Thank goodness.
Thank you for being here. Was the applicant notified in advance of the date and time of the meeting? This is mechanical, so we don't need to review this now. Do I have a motion for deferral because the applicant is not present?
Yes, but I've lost track of the address.
908 St. Peter Street.
I move that in the matter of 908 St. Peter Street, we defer until the next meeting so that the applicant can be present for review.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is deferred. That brings us to the end of our agenda. If there's no other business from the staff, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
And I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Just a second.